Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you could be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you've come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are delighted to be with you this afternoon and hope that the things that we say will be useful to you as you continue your journey as a Bible student. We encourage you to look into God's Word today with a sincere and open heart and listen to His Word. Allow God's Holy Spirit, which works through the Word of God, allow that Spirit to work on your heart, to cut you, to make you, to mold you into the image of Christ. Again, this is a live radio call-in broadcast. We want to encourage our listeners to go ahead and call in right now if you have a question that you are seeking a Bible answer to. Go ahead and call right now. That number is 308-9564, 308-9564. I believe we have a question left over from last week. Ricky?
Yes, we have Linda that called in last week that lives in West Charleston, or I guess that's North Charleston, and so we're glad that that we have this. Her question is based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, which says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." And so her question is, some churches restrict what I wear and some don't. Some say jewelry is wrong. What is right? Well, we just read what is right. That is 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9. But yet understanding that, sometimes people will take it and make all kind of applications. But the fact is, that is what is right. God wants us to adorn ourselves in a way to where we have shamefacedness, which means the ability to be shamed. It's the idea of not causing or drawing attention to yourself, but rather literally the idea of one that can be at all or modest. Bashfulness is associated with that. Shamefacedness is the idea of being bashful. Well, unfortunately, we live in a day and a time where people like to be blazingly visible and look at me is a philosophy that is embraced by lots of people today in the world. And, of course, that has worked its way among the spiritually minded as well. And so if it is jewelry or hair or the way we fix our hair or the way we adorn ourselves, none of those things should be drawing attention to ourselves so that we are catching every eye. But rather, if we're going to adorn ourselves the way that the Lord wants, he says in verse 10, "But in such a way as professing godliness with good works." And so what is it that should be seen is our manner of life that is professing godliness. That's what people should see. That's what people should remember. And if they were to describe us in a certain way, then it should be the godliness that they display, not the idea of what we wear or how we adorn ourselves, especially if it's in such a way to where it is catching somebody's eye. So I know, Linda, that may sound like a very general answer, but to stick with the Bible and let the Bible speak, that's what we must do. And so that's what the Bible says. So how is it applied? Well, the Lord expects each of us to apply this. I know this was talking specifically to women, but it literally applies to every one of us. The Lord does not want us to be superficial. and that is to just have an outward appearance of godliness in any way. That is condemned even by the religious leaders of his time in Matthew 23, where some of them were adorning themselves in garb to make them people look at them professing themselves to be godly, and yet inward they were full of dead man's bones. Now, that's Jesus' terminology. That's not mine, and so you can read that in Matthew chapter 23. He wants us to look godly through and through, and especially on the outside. Sometimes when I was teaching my children this principle, they would say, well, Daddy, you can't judge a book by its cover. And I would respond to them, yeah, that's right. But most people judge a book by the cover and many times will refuse to read what's inside simply because the cover looks so wrong. And that is still true today. So if you want people to judge you by your fruit, then the very first thing they see is the covering, and it should look godly. Linda, I hope that helps. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2 and also a lot of Matthew chapter 23, where the religious leaders back then dealt with a superficial outward adorning to look godly. I really appreciate you listening. I hope you were listening today, and hope that was helpful to anyone in the audience. Again, the number right now is 308-9564. This is a live broadcast. You can call in your question, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. 308-9564. The lines are now available.
Yeah, Rick, we have another question from last week. Shirley calls this question in. She says, after praying, God showed me a vision from heaven. Why would God show me a vision from heaven? Well, Shirley, I hope you're listening today, and again, we appreciate you calling in. But speaking to visions that you or dreams and things of that nature, you know, we cannot speak to those things. What we do know for sure is that God did give his disciples in the first century visions. In fact, he promised that this was going to occur in Acts chapter 2. This was going to occur, and I said Acts, but it's really I'm referencing a prophecy that was made in the book of Joel. And Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, what you'll find is, again, this prophecy that was made by God. It says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And so, again, that was Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 29. That did occur and was fulfilled there in Acts chapter 2, where the apostles received the Holy Spirit. God did pour out his spirit upon them. And thus, their ability to see the various things that God wanted them to see enabled them to write down what we call the Bible today, but to write down scriptures. That enabled them to write down scriptures. And so at least that's why it occurred during that time period. One of the things I want to speak to was oftentimes when we have dreams and things of that nature, we naturally ascribe those things or those dreams to God. But it may be, and this is something more broad, you know, I'm talking really to all our listeners, it may be that sometimes those dreams that we're seeing are not from God at all, but rather from another power that's at work. Don't ever lose sight that there's another power at work. Not everything is from God. Sometimes things are from Satan. And here's how we can know what's from God. If there's anything that we conjure up in our mind or see in our mind that contradicts what's been revealed in God's inspired word, well, that's not from God at all. You see, because God has revealed his word once and for all time. And so we should be able to go to God's word and get the answer for everything that we need. Over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, as his divine power has given, and that word given is past tense, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory, or called us by his glory and virtue. So note that God has given, according to what Peter says, that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so, if there's anything that pertains to life, if there's anything that pertains to godliness, God has given us that. And where has he given it? Well, he gave it to us in his inspired word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so whatever it is that God would have us to do, we should be able to go into God's word and find the answer. I hope this is helpful to you, Shirley, and as well as our other listeners. Just remember, just because I have a dream or I see a vision, that doesn't necessarily mean it came from God. There is another power at work.
There's a lady that one time a preacher went to see, and she met him at the front door and said, "Well, come on with me into the backyard. I was back here talking to angels." And so he raised his eyebrow and walked with her into the backyard, and he went to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, where it says in verse 8, "Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what was preached to you, let them be accursed." And so that's where he started in the Bible study, and it ended up into a very good Bible study. And so we need to be very careful who we're listening to, whether they are in the flesh or some kind of vision or some kind of inward feeling or gut, or even our parents. If it's anything but what God says in His Word, then that is to be accursed. So please, let's always go to the Bible and let the Bible speak in our hearts. The number right now is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. The lines are available, and you can call us and ask your question. It can either be written down or it can be brought into us in person. Either way, you can get on the air and ask your question in person or live, or it can be written down and brought into us. Again, that number, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to you. But we want you to know that this is a live broadcast, and you can go ahead and call in your question, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. That number again, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor His disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We do want you to know that that is a free service and that we are serious when we say that it is free. We're going to send you a correspondence course, and you are welcome to study in the privacy of your home to learn a great deal about God's Word. We literally have hundreds and hundreds of people on this course in this area, and actually around the world, I guess, and we're more than happy to send this to you. It is a comprehensive, quick glance through the Bible, the big picture of the Bible, and we're more than glad to send it to you. Again, that number is 553-5157. Be sure to call and enroll if you have not already. It's all free of charge. We now have our questions are coming in today, and we want you to know that the lines are now available. We've got questions before us, but you can go ahead and call in your question even while we're answering these. Again, that number now here at the station for you to ask your question is 308-9564, 308-9564. The lines are available, so go ahead and call in your question right now. We have a question there, Nick?
Yes, this call calls from Mount Pleasant. The caller says, "We will not be judged." I was wondering, if I'm already saved, if I've already obeyed the gospel, and I've done what God says, does that mean I'm going to be judged? And so the thought is that God is only going to judge those who are not saved. So is that really what the Bible teaches? I'll call your attention over to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. Because the Bible doesn't teach this idea that because I've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I'm not going to face the judgment of God. The Bible shows us consecutively or consistently that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Acts chapter 17, picking up verse 30, he says, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." So here he has the idea that he's going to judge the world. And then over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, you find similar language. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." And then there's another passage there in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. The idea again is that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, let me give you those passages again. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Romans 14 and verse 10. Again, we appreciate your call. For those of you who may be just joining us, you are listening to a live radio broadcast entitled Let the Bible Speak, where it is our intent to let God's Word speak to the question that may be on your heart. If you have a question this hour, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have a caller also, Ben, who is a longtime listener, and we certainly appreciate you taking out time to each Sunday. He said, "I've just been waiting on your broadcast to start today." And so, Ben, we thank you for being so eager and interested in what the Bible says. And so we're thrilled. His question is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, and it's dealing with verse 7. And his question is, "Explain, please, the spirit of fear and of a sound mind." Well, let's start with verse 6. And we'll be glad to look to that question. Let me remind everyone, the lines are now available. If you want to go ahead and call in your question, you can, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind, 308-9564. Now, to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." And then he goes on talking about this. And so Paul, as the in essence, as the spiritual mentor to Timothy, he encourages him to make certain he does not take on the spirit of timidity or fear that would not allow God's word to flow through him adequately, but rather to be able to be courageous, to speak up, and to with great courage to speak the word of God. Of power, and let it be to speaking the truth in love, and of course using a sound mind, which literally has the idea of wisdom associated with experience, and so we would he's encouraging him to not be timid in this, but to speak the truth in love with fear. I mean, with a great deal of respect and awesome appreciation for what God's word says. And this was no coincidence that this is exactly what he prays and asks them to pray for him about, that he will speak with courage and confidence in what God says, even though he was an apostle. We still can be made fearful from time to time. And so he's encouraging him to be courageous in what he is to do in serving the Lord. So use the gift that he has, speak up, with a sound mind, the spirit of fear, that he will make certain that he respects God, but not be scared to teach what God says. So he's encouraging him, in other words, Ben, he's wanting him to not cow down or cower down, but to speak up and teach that which is true. And that's something that we all grapple with. Sometimes we start this radio program every week with a prayer that we will stay out of God's way and allow his word to be capably taught and to allow His Word to come to you each week so that we might be able to let the Bible speak without any kind of hesitation. That is our desire. You can call right now. The lines are available, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. And so we want to let you know that this is a live broadcast, and you want, if you have a question on your mind, you can go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
Today, we want to talk a little bit about this idea of, you know, why do we go and we worship? Now, oftentimes, we go to worship, and maybe sometimes we go because it's more of a habit. Maybe we go because we feel obligated to go. But, you know, in some cases, we go because we are going to be entertained. And what we do, we don't mean to, perhaps, is that we confuse entertainment with edification. The Bible shows us that worship is not something we go to get, but it is something that we go to give. In the book of John, John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, we see the mind of God. We see a God who is absolutely looking for people to worship Him a certain way. In John chapter 4, and verse 23, I'll start in verse 23, it says, "But the hour is coming," this is Jesus speaking, "but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." So God is absolutely seeking true worshipers, those who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. The idea of worship, again, this is something you go to give. And we give that to God. We give God the glory. God is seeking true worshipers. But what has happened is that we may turn worship into a place that we go to get. I go to get some type of entertainment where I want to be appeased. I turn worship into a place where I'm the audience. And that whoever's teaching or whoever's singing is singing and teaching to me, not so I can learn, but so that I can be entertained. Well, that's not the picture that the Bible paints. In fact, we are to be engaged. We are to be a part of the worship, not just listening to someone else sing, but rather I should be singing. I should be giving God the praise. I should not go there to be entertained. I should go to be edified and to edify. You see, it's a two-way street. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, picking up in verse 22, Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 22, you'll find this idea that these saints in the first century were to come together to stir one another up to love and to good works. Picking up in verse 22, the Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." Verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Now, how are they going to accomplish that? Verse 25, he says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." You see, they were supposed to be coming together to stir one another up to love and to good works. Not entertain them, but to edify them. Thus, to be edified and to give edification was part of the reason they were to assemble. But also, they were there to give God the glory. God is the one who should be receiving our worship. And we should not be looking to trying to entertain one another. To join us right now in our discussion, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Mrs. Ellis, or Ms. Ellis, calling in this afternoon asking about what is a demon spirit. And Ms. Ellis, we're certainly glad that you are listening this afternoon, that you've taken out the time to join us as we let the Bible speak. Again, the lines are now available if you'd like to go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, 308-WJNI. You can go ahead and call in your question right now. This is a live broadcast, and we are more than honored to try and look into God's Word for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. 308-9564. Ms. Ellis, We are honored that you are listening. And demons are literally those spirits that are under the leadership of the father of lies, which was the Satan himself, the devil, the dragon, and many other ways that he is described. And they are sent forth, have been cast down to the earth because of the rebellion against God. And they're in their rebellion. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about how that God cast them down to earth for their punishment. And but they were not allowed to overwhelm people. And thus, pretty much, they were behind the scenes during the up until the time when Christ came. And then once the it came about time when Christ came, these evil spirits seem to have been given liberty to overwhelm or possess individuals. And thus, there was demon possession talked about and done in the first century, so that when Christ came and his followers, his apostles, they could show the power over the demons and how that they could exercise or expel them out of individuals. They were really, this was a real phenomenon that took place in the first century, and it was to take place just to show that God's power over that while the gospel message was being compiled for us today. Now, we have God's word today, and thus that power seems to have been taken away along with the prophets. In Zechariah chapter 2, chapter 13 and verse 2, it talks about how that both prophets and unclean spirits would be taken from the land in that day. Zechariah 13 and verse 2, it shall come about in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of idols from the land, and they shall be no longer be remembered, and I shall also cause the prophets and unclean spirits to depart from the land. And so it is nothing to worry about today as far as one coming into your house and ransacking your house. That's not the idea. Literally, it's the idea that they were loose for a while. They were allowed to have overwhelming power in the first century so that God could show his power over them. Even when Jesus walked up to someone who was possessed with an unclean spirit, they would cry out, "We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Have you come to torment us before our time?" They knew there was a timetable. They knew there was something up, and Christ came to show his power over them, and when those prophets were taken from the land, so were the unclean spirits. That's Zechariah 13 and verse 2. So these are real. They are still alive. They still, but they do not overwhelm people. And thus, when people are hearing some of these voices today, we would call to question that we should try the spirits whether they are of God or not, because many false teachers have gone out into the world. And that's the warning that is given to us. I believe that's in 1 John chapter 4, is that right?
That sounds right. 1 John 4.
1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, yeah. And so there's where we're admonished to test the spirits whether they are of God. And the only way that we can test them is book, chapter, and verse in God's Word. And that's the only way that we can know where that information is coming from. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness contained in His Word. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 tells us. And so we must go there for the answers to know whether it is from God or not. Ms. Ellis, we're certainly thankful that you have taken out the time to call us and to ask us question today. She also brings out that she is not necessarily part of a church right now. We would encourage you to call the operator standing by at 553-5157 if you would like information on where and when we meet. We would be more than happy to meet you in person and let the Bible speak in our studies together. 553-5157 is the number. Matter of fact, we'll go ahead and make a quick pause and break, and we'll give you the information about a correspondence course that you would do well to enroll in. So go ahead, and those of you that have questions, go ahead and call in your question even while we're at break. So here is the information. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157, and the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, Again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We have another question calling in. It's Charlie. Charlie, appreciate you calling in today. And for those of you, again, that have a question on your heart, go ahead and call in right now. What we try to encourage is our listeners not to wait towards the end of the program because it becomes very difficult to get those questions in. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. Charlie makes reference to a passage there in the book of Revelations, Revelations chapter 20 and verse 13, that talks about death and Hades and the sea. In Revelation 20, verse 13, the Bible says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell," or Hades, that's the word that's translated there, "delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." And his question is, he understands that death and Hades giving up the dead, but what does the sea giving up the dead, what does that mean? Well, the best thing I can come up with, and I'm fairly confident that this is accurate, but I do kind of, you know, preface it by saying, you know, again, this may not be the case. In the earth, you have those who died and they're buried, right? And so death, or Hades, which is the grave, is going to give up the dead that's in it. And then there are those who die at sea, and the sea is going to give up the dead that's in it. I'm fairly sure that that's what's meant here. Whether it's worm food or fish food, they all have to give it back to the Lord when he come calling. And so I hope that's helpful to you. Again, that's Revelation 20 and verse 13. Thanks for calling.
We want you to know this is a live broadcast, and you can call in your question right now at 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. Now, most of you that are regular listeners to the station know that this broadcast is only goes on one hour a week, and during this hour it is entirely different than the normal environment, and so we want you to know what's unique is that we're going to the Bible for the answer. It's not going to be a touchy-feely type of make-you-feel-good kind of situation unless we are doing what God says, and then, of course, we are just so proud and so rejoicing over that. But we want you to know that it's not what makes us feel good that will get us to heaven. It is what God's Word says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so there is what we need to be fed. There is where we will have the life, the light, the direction to that straight and narrow path that will lead us to heaven. So there's where we go to find the answers. 308-9564, we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. And so right now we have the lines full, but you can call as soon as you can. And we'll be glad to let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. We have Mary calling in from Somerville. Mary, I'm amazed at your statement here. It says, her questions are, what is an offering and what is a tithe? And then she added that she was asked to stand in a line in order to give money to the church. And so, Mary, I'm just amazed at the audacity of some of these churches out there. Not only are they begging for money and intimidating people for money, but then they're actually putting them in lines, and I don't know what the motivation of that is at all. And I feel sorry for all of you that can relate to this, because the thing is, that's not what was done in the Bible. In the Bible, people gave on the first day of the week. It was not for show. It was not for programs. It was not for entertainment. It was to teach the gospel. The money that was given on the Lord's Day, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, that says is where the instructions are, Mary. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, upon the first day of every week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered, that there be no gatherings when I come. Then also 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, the whole chapter is dealing with how that they would give, and that they would give bountifully and cheerfully, and that's what they should be doing in today. Now, notice neither one of these passages mention a tithe, because tithing was a compelled giving in the Jewish commonwealth, and if you were a Jew, you were compelled to give a tenth of your income, of your crops, of your flocks, of your food to the temple, for the maintaining of the Levites who were to live on that tenth. And so there was 11 tribes that contributed a tenth to take care of one tribe, and they were only taking care of the Jewish nation. And that's that was the purpose of the tithe in the Old Testament. Even Jesus lived under that Old Testament law and tithe during his lifetime. Yet when Jesus died on the cross, that law was nailed to the cross with him, and now we live under his law, the New Testament, not the Old Testament, but the New. And in this New, there is no instructions about giving us a tithe, that we're to give a tithe. And so, Mary, that was part of the Old Testament law that was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. And if we go back to the law, for example, I had a discussion with someone this week, in reference to the giving of the tithe. If we go back to that, Galatians chapter 5, write this down, Galatians 5 and verse 4, says, if we justify ourselves by the law, we are fallen from grace. My friend, we better not go there. If we go back to that law to justify ourselves, Christ died in vain. So let's make certain that if we're going to be part of a church that is not part of a church that is all about money, what we need to do is be part of the Lord's church. Let the Lord add us to his church, Acts 2, verse 47. And it's not about the money. It is about teaching the Word of God and getting people to heaven. That's what it's about. And so I'm so sorry, Mary, you've had to go through that. There is an alternative. You do not have to be subjugated to such behavior as that. In this day and time, it's important for us to get it right in God's sight. Again, the number right now you can call in, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind and on your heart, 308-9564. Mary, thank you for listening today, and I hope you will listen every week to the broadcast as we let the Bible speak.
We began speaking earlier concerning why do people go to service. We talked about the idea of sometimes people go to be entertained. And we try to make it clear that edification and entertainment are not the same. Sometimes they're thought to be the same, but they are very, very different. We should not go to worship God so that we might be entertained. Again, worship is not the place where we go to get. It is the place where we go to give. And we should be giving God all the glory, not sitting there hoping that we can be entertained by some activity.
You're not talking about money, are you?
That might be one way that folks, one reason why folks go. Again, the idea is to get money. Sometimes congregations or churches get established very quickly just to get money.
Oh, that's why, the reason churches exist. Yes, that's right.
Okay, but the idea is we should go so that we can give God the glory. One example of going for the wrong reason, sometimes folks will go because they just like the way a certain preacher preach. Again, not necessarily the things that he's saying, it's perhaps the way he's saying what he's saying. Sometimes it is, in fact, the things that he's saying, but those things are not things that come out of the Word. Maybe he puts a few words together. Maybe there sometimes the word rhymes. Sometimes we go and we listen to a preacher or we begin to like a preacher just because it sounds the way he sounds. It sounds real good. Or maybe he says those things that you might agree with. And so you avoid another preacher because he might say things that you don't agree with. And, you know, the Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, and verse 3, the Bible says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." They have an itching ear. I want to hear things a certain way. I want to hear what I want to hear. I want to hear preaching with soul. I want to hear it a certain way. And again, anyone who's not preaching the way I want to hear, well, that person's boring. Oh, I don't want to listen to that. Again, that should not be our motivation. I'm going for the wrong reason if that's my motivation. I should not go to be entertained, but to be edified. And the only way we can be edified is by the Word of God. To join us in our discussion right now, you can call 308-9564. If there is a question that's on your heart, don't hesitate to call 308-9564, 308-9564.
We are more than happy to be able to let the Bible speak to the question that's on your heart. Right now we're talking about entertainment that's going on in churches, and this is where why a lot of the churches have needed to come up with all of this cash and all this money that they are relentless in trying to get out of the people, and because they've got to pay for all of this entertainment. They've got to pay for all of the equipment that is involved in this. It don't come free. It's expensive, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. My question is, where did Jesus tell us to do that in the first place? We're not to be entertaining one another. It is not a matter of a performance and an audience. It is a matter of worship. The idea of worship, falling down before the great creator of this universe and paying homage to him, to worshiping him with all our heart. That's what it's all about. And then when God's word is taught, it is not a matter of just to be entertained there. It is a matter of what does the Bible say. Here recently, we've had come in contact with someone, and she says, "I go to this particular church, but they don't study the Bible. And so I want to come to a place where I can study the Bible and see what God has to say." And I was just was excited to meet this person, but I was so sad that she would have to say something like that. How many churches are out there? And it's all about the performance, not about the Creator. It's all about how well the job is and how wonderful the music is and what I get out of it. Matter of fact, you'll see in papers and advertisements quite often, sometimes on the back of trucks, "Go to the church of your choice." But by all means, go. Well, it is not our choice that we should be concerned with. It is God's choice. And so the only church that we should seek out to be part of is the church we read about in the Bible. To be just a Christian, to follow him, his word, without any kind of complication of man or man-made doctrine, that's the way that we're going to be able to make it to heaven one day. To entertain ourselves, well, there's a place for that, but that's in the home. When it comes down to gathering with God's people, our entertainment is not what we should be focused upon. It is actually entertaining God that we should be focused upon. Is my heart right before God? Have I count all my affections lost for him? Am I searching after, lunging toward, pressing toward the mark of the prize, the upward call in Christ Jesus? Is that what he is seeing in my heart? Well, then that is entertaining to him. Are my prayers humbly being expressed to him, whether it is using somebody else's words or my own? Does he hear the humility of my heart, laying myself before him, giving him praise and glory and thanking him, and then requesting, praying on the behalf of others and confessing my sins, because it says he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins if I will do that? 1 John chapter 1. Verse 8, 9, and 10 there. We've got to have that kind of humble heart. Well, then, God is entertained. But it's not about entertaining us. He is the audience, and we are to be the entertainers. And I hate to even use it that way, because it's not a matter of what we come up with, because he wouldn't consider that entertaining at all. It is a matter of loving him the way he wants us to love him, to show our love to him. John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So there is the focus that we should have. And you look in the Old Testament and how they worshiped God then. All of the feasts were focused upon God. Yeah, sometimes they were commemorating some events that took place, such as the Exodus and the Passover and the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost or the Feast of Unleavened Bread and others. Every single one of them were focused upon God. My friends, if we're not focused upon God, if we're focused upon man or entertainment or what I can get out for me, we're in big trouble. We need to let God be our total focus as we let the Bible speak. The number here is 308-9564. Go ahead and call in your question. The lines are available. Be sure to call in your question. We've just got about less than 15 minutes left, so go ahead and call in right now, even while we're at break. But here's a free offer for everyone. If you have not enrolled in this, be sure to take the opportunity to enroll in it right now as we let the Bible speak. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Today we've been talking about entertainment, and we will continue that discussion, but want to thank a caller who just recently called in. I said this is the first time that he's tuned in. And just really appreciative of the information that's being provided. And we hope that everything that we're saying, that you're checking out and that you're willing to go back and look in the Scriptures and make sure that the things that we say are so. It is our intent to let God's Word speak. And we, Ricky and myself, and those of us who work on this program, we're trying to stay out of God's way and allow His will to be done. And so, again, if there's something that we're saying that's incorrect and you have Scriptures to show us, we're more than happy to consider those things as well. If you have a question that's on your heart, go ahead and call right now. The lines are open, 308-9564, 308-9564. We've been talking today about entertainment. And, again, what has happened is sometimes we can get edification confused with entertainment. We can get our worship confused with entertainment. We begin to wonder why do so many congregations need so much money. And part of it is because they're putting on programs and shows and things of that nature. And those things, they take a lot of money. But what we really should be focusing on, ladies and gentlemen, is worshiping our Lord. Worshiping Him in spirit and truth, John 4 and verse 24. Worship Him the way He says to worship Him. Making sure that we're focusing on edifying those who make up the body of Christ. You know, teaching them His message and helping them to grow. Because that's the only way we're going to be built up. We have to be taught God's message. And then we have to take that message and put it in our hearts that we might not sin against Him. And then we also must be focusing on those who are needy inside the congregation. That's what the church in the first century did. When they collected money, it was not for programs and things, but it was to help needy saints, as well as continue the work of evangelism. Again, that's not entertainment. That's edification. That's worshiping. That's giving God the glory. and all, for he is worthy of all glory and all praise.
We again, we want you to know that we're this is a live broadcast. You can call in right now, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. We had a question earlier about how that someone had to stand in line in order to give, and I just wonder if that had been turned into a thing of entertainment as well, to where that I've known of churches to where that when they gather certain funds, they make a big production out of that in order to show what a wonderful thing has taken place, and it's just for show. It is a matter of entertainment. I know of many churches out there, and you may be part of one that does this, to where even when someone wants to be baptized, well, they'll put them off for a week or two or several weeks and then gather a bunch of people together to turn it into a big show. And that's not what we read about in the Bible. When someone obeyed the gospel, when they became a Christian in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2, we see that they believed the preaching. They asked what they must do. In verse 38, Peter told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And then on down in verse 41, "Then they gladly received the word and were baptized." And the same day, about 3,000 souls were added to the church by Christ, by the Lord. In Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord himself added them to his church when they received the word and were baptized, from verse 41. And so there, it was not a matter of a show. It was a matter of obeying the gospel. It was a matter of dying with Christ to rise and walk in newness of life. And if you doubt that, we look in Acts chapter 8, where there was a Philip and a man from Ethiopia going down the road in a chariot. He, too, wanted to become a child of God. It wasn't a show. It wasn't something scheduled. It was something that was committed to the Lord. As the Ethiopian eunuch died with Christ in the watery grave of baptism there in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 38. And then in Acts chapter 16, again, we can see here in the dungeon of the jail at Philippi, the jailer and his household, they heard the word of God, and they were baptized in the middle of the night. Now, can you imagine that? No, it's not a show. It is a matter of a commitment to the Lord. And until we die with Christ in the water grave of baptism, until we die and are buried with Christ in baptism, then we are still in our sins. And if you didn't understand that when you were baptized, then you should carefully consider what thus says the Lord there. That was Acts chapter 2, chapter 8, and chapter 16, as we look to see that baptism, that was not entertainment. That was part of the conversion process that adds one to the body of Christ. The number here, 308-9564, is the number you can call right now, and we'll let the Bible speak to your question. The 308-9564. We have another question?
Well, it's not a question. It's a comment from Ben. Ben calls back in thanking us and saying he's praying for us. And so we appreciate that, Ben. We appreciate all of those out there who are tuning in week after week. And hopefully, again, the things that we're saying, you're checking these things out to make sure that they're so. You see, we can easily be led astray by men, be it Ricky or myself, or anyone who claims to preach the Word of God. But the way to keep yourself from being led astray is to stay within the boundaries of God's Word, to check these things out and make sure that they're so. Today, we've been talking about this idea of entertainment, and I want to leave you with kind of a few thoughts to think about. One of the major forms of entertainment in many congregations is the singing. Folks go to a congregation because maybe they have a good choir and they sit back and they're entertained while one person sings. But we don't see that as a matter of practice in the New Testament. When we look in the Scriptures, this idea of singing was something that everybody was supposed to do. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, verse 19, the Bible says, "Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Take notice of this verse. This idea is that they, in singing, they were going to be speaking to one another. You see, that was something that everybody was going to do. And they were going to be singing specific songs. The Bible says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They were supposed to be making melodies in a very specific place. The Bible says in their heart. And their worship was supposed to be going to a specific place. It says making melody in your heart to the Lord. Again, worship was something that we give to the Lord and not something that we get. And then in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians the third chapter in verse 16, the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." The same idea comes out in this passage. This idea of speaking to one another in songs, you're teaching, you're admonishing one another, and again, it's psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Again, with grace in your heart to the Lord. The Lord is the audience, and that's what worship should be given, or that's who worship should be given to. It should be given to God. Finally, Hebrews, the 13th chapter, brings out this same idea. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise." Notice that he says, "Let us." This was not a one-man show, ladies and gentlemen. Not a one-man show. This was something that the entire church was to engage in. "Let us, therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips." You see, we're supposed to have been singing. The fruit of our lips. Didn't say anything about playing, but singing, giving thanks to his name.
You know, what's interesting about that passage there is a message being conveyed. Unfortunately, we live in a day and a time where people are more moved by the spirit or the tune or the environment rather than the message that is being conveyed. And what it is, what God's word is, it is not some kind of air of environment. It is a message. The word of God is a message. In John chapter 6, Jesus asked the apostles after thousands turned around and walked with him no more. He turned to the apostles and said, "Are you going to go away too?" Peter got it. He responded by saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life." The words, it's a message. And so when we're worshiping God today, it is not some kind of mystical feeling or environmental sensation. It is a message that we are conveying. Now, question for you. If we are worshiping God or singing a song to God, and we mention God and we have no clue about what we just said, have we just taken the name of God in vain? There's either a yes or a no to that question. If we have taken God's name and we did not know what we were saying when we said it, did we not just take the Lord God's name in vain? We didn't say it with meaning. The Israelites were very much concerned with taking the Lord's name in vain, one of the Ten Commandments that were back in the Old Testament and repeated in Christ's law. If we take God's name in vain, we are sinning. We are condemned. And so when we sing, I've done this many times. I've taken the Lord God's name in vain in song. Maybe I wasn't paying attention or something happened to distract me while I was singing. We need to understand that worship is a message that is being conveyed to God. Think about that the next time we sing praises to God. Any closing comments, Nick?
Well, as always, we are very thankful for those of you who are tuned in, and again, thankful for your questions. Hope that the things that we say, again, are helpful to you. We're hopeful that you will, again, dig into God's Word and find the answers. Again, the operator is standing by. If there is something that's on your heart and maybe didn't get it in, we still have maybe 1 or 2 minutes here, so you might be able to squeeze in a question, may not. But you can call that operator who is standing by. That number is 553-5157, 553-5157. You can enroll in a correspondence course. If there's some other thought on your mind, maybe you're interested in a home Bible study, you can just let the operator know that as well. And as time permits, we can come by and perhaps study with you. Our goal is simply to give you the treasures that's contained within the Word of God. That's it.
We are just about out of time. We want you to know that we certainly appreciate the opportunity to come into your home or wherever you're at today as we let the Bible speak. The truth of the matter is we're not important. God is important. His Word is what's going to judge us one day. We need to look there for all the answers to life and godliness. We want to thank you for listening today and tuning in and studying God's Word with us. Until next week, this is Ricky Shanks and Nick Wichard, along with Laron helping with the board today, and also Daniel answering the phones here at the studio. And Malika has been the operator standing by at the 553 number. Again, you can go ahead and call that number. We want to say have a good afternoon, and Lord willing, we will study again next week.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day. You're the reason I'm leaving, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you. So each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.
Nothing's impossible. WJNI, Ladson, North Charleston.